Welcome to a new episode of The Brand Called You. Today I have a very good YPO friend, Tushar Mittal. Tushar, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tushar is an engineer. He's done his PGDM. He's been to Harvard Business School. Then he worked with a leading real estate firm. And he's the founder of two very interesting companies. One is founder of Studio Con Ventures Private Limited, which is a turnkey interior solution provider. And recently he's launched what is the name of the company?
Happy Monday.
So Tushar, tell us a little bit about your early career and when you came to Delhi in 2006 and how you started Studio Con.
Yeah, so I born and brought up in Rajasthan. There's a place called Rudawal in Bharatpur district. So till 12th I did my studies over there, and then post that, very interestingly, I just ran away from my home and then went for my engineering studies. So I did my civil engineering. I was like mediocre in studies in engineering, so I was more involved, you know, coordination, extracurricular activities, and like part-time job and part-time study kind of an arrangement. And then I completed my engineering in 2004-05, and then for further studies, I came to Delhi in 2005, actually. And I did my NICMAR in Delhi.
What is NICMAR?
NICMAR, National Institute of Construction Management.
Okay.
It is in Nehru Place. Like the, so this institute is known for further, you know, higher studies in construction management. So for a civil engineer, instead of going for any management and all, I thought like, I should do, you know, core construction management. And there's a story, like, you know, when I was doing my training in L&T in Mumbai, I saw there is like, you know, civil engineer, you know, on the site, and then few people are working on the laptop or, you know, something. So out of curiosity, I just checked that why these guys are, you know, working on the laptop and few are working on the, you know, the
drawings,
you know, like on the site. Then they said that the guys have done NICMAR.
Okay.
So that's how I thought, like, you know, let me do NICMAR then, you know, at least we can get, you know, better opportunities or something. Okay. So that's how I came in Delhi.
And when did you start Studio Con? What was the basis?
Yeah, so in 2000, like when I completed my NICMAR, I got a placement in one of the real estate firm in Gurgaon. I worked 1.5 years over there. There was a lot of financial constraint. There was urge to start my own, you know, something. And I was like, you know, since childhood, I'm an entrepreneur. Like, so I always willing to start my own. And I found a very interesting opportunity. I was in the real estate firm. I learned that time, in 2007-08, there was a boom of service sector and IT sector. So a lot of companies were coming in India and developing their offices. And I found a very good opportunity. So I thought, like, let's start something. So that's how Studio Con.
And what is the meaning of Studio Con?
Yeah, so studio is studio, so it reflects architecture or, like, you know, interior. And then con is construction. So we have taken con from construction and then merged together.
What made the C into a K?
So K is like, again, story for new.
What is the story?
So when we were two partners earlier, and then when we split it, the studio con, like C, was like, you know,
demolished. I see. Okay.
And then I was looking for, you know, and then somebody advised me, why don't you use K? And K is very, so that overall,
okay. I understand. So when I was reading about you, you know, you talked about your vision and mission and the five key pillars that you have. Talk to us about these.
You know, so I belong to a small business class family, and my father still runs a grocery shop in Rajasthan, and he's very happy to stay there and run that shop. So that particular shop is, you know, around 60 years old, you know, heritage shop. And the pillar of that business is, like, you know, purely commitment, honesty, consistency. And in English, like, when we talk about this, but if you go back and then look at that local, you know, so my father and my grandfather both used to say that, you know, any client is small or big, is a client and is a god, you know. So I carried that, you know, philosophy from there. Second thing, that your offering should be consistent. Today, if you have a lot more clients, then you are like giving little tantrums to your clients. But at the same time, next day when you have free, you know, hours, and then you are just, you know, that will not work. You have to be consistent in your nature. And then I think sustainability in your approach has to be very, very important. So, you know, we carry these three, four, things. So we are known for our commitment. We are known for our consistency. Mm-hmm. And we are known for our, kind of innovation. So even a small shop can be very innovative in offering, behavior, like we are getting new products every day. So same we carried in our, my business also. We have introduced a lot of tech. So the construction and design is like very run in a very standard format, like not too much of innovation, not too much of technology has been introduced. But in last 10 years, we have used best of best technology, best of best, software.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, this is basic fundamental of.
So, Vibhram, I think you're absolutely right. When you look at the values that most small or large Indian businesses have been built, I think that is what you have brought to your company as well. So good luck with that. So, you speak about providing turnkey solutions. So I was trying to understand, what is a turnkey solution for interior design?
A turnkey is like, in a very normal way, turnkey. Generally, let's say you are building your house, okay, and some subcontractor or some firm give you that, okay, give me a plot and I will design it. I will, get all the furniture or design, all the aspects for you. And finally, you need to come and just turn your key. And then, so that is the basic fundamental of turnkey. In our business and offices, like business heads or big large companies doesn't have time to, get into, different, like first hire architect, then PMC and then contract. This is like lengthy process. Mm-hmm. It is time taking process. The world has changed. Now time is important. And then somebody has to be responsible for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how this turnkey model comes in our business. So we do end-to-end solutions. So, you just only need
the empty space.
Empty space, and then we will invite you at the day of inauguration, that come and enjoy your office.
Okay.
That's how we build this whole thing. And a lot of people are doing this, okay, but we have implemented in terms of hassle-free operations, and it's a true turnkey.
Mm. And do you do this for offices and homes or only offices?
We do only offices. We don't do homes.
So that means, I say take half a floor of a building, I hand it over to you, and then have a discussion on what do I want my office to look like, and then you take over.
Yeah, so the previous approach of SKB is we were collaborating with the clients and we giving them three, four, five options, and then finally we are just stitching their story. But now by new concept, we are giving multiple of multiple options, very, very technology driven, and I think it's the approach is to value the time and then fasten up the whole process.
So you must be using a lot of technology when you are doing all these designs. Where did you acquire all this technology from?
So actually, I think important is, as an entrepreneur, you need to dig the, what is happening throughout the world. And I think one of my mentor told me 90% of the things are already done. You need to just search them and utilize them in your business or in your approach. So I think that's true. If you look at globally, that design business has evolved drastically. There are tools, there are technologies, there are hardwares where you can really, really expedite the process. So we have just we have taken the Folio, we have taken Matterport, we have taken lot many Asana. So we have different teams are using different kind of softwares and really, really expedited the process of executing this whole thing.
And let me ask you a question on a lighter note. How many of your clients do actually know what they want?
$1 billion question. So there is opportunity in any business, not in even my business. If somebody is coming to buy a garment at your shop, the intelligent businessman or intelligent shopkeeper is he understand and read the mind and immediately give the option. So your deal will be immediately closed. Okay. So I think in our business also, what in 10 years, I've been from developer side, I've learned from client side. So generally, that is the opportunity, how you read your client's mind. So you are doing every day, the same thing. And when you just understand that and make a scientific process, that what to be asked, and when you get one answer, how to relate to the second answer. So we are using in our new so the new business which we have launched recently, Happy Monday, it is based on reading the client writing.
Okay, so I was going to come to Happy Monday, but let's talk about it now. Hmm. Tell me a little bit about Happy Monday. I like the name very much.
So why we happy? I'll just give you a little bit about Happy Monday. So generally in offices, Mondays are like, you know, when we go to office, Monday blues or something. So why this? You know, I remember my days, like, you know, in my college, there are a few people, those who were always looking at it when the leave will come and we will go on, you know, they were liking. But me as a person, I was always like not liking the, you know, the holidays. Like I was always willing to be in college, you know. Why in college? Because I was enjoying that atmosphere. And why I'm enjoying it? Because my hobbies are to meet, greet, and, you know, doing. So same thing, employees come into to work in an office, but what as he is not liking, if you attack those points, like, so you can really boost the productivity. And I've read, you know, like I read a lot of articles globally is on workspaces and all. Actually, what is Google and Facebook or other companies are doing? They are just making that atmosphere interesting, productive, and it is not that you are coming for the work. Work is also important, but at the same time, how you engage your employee. So the Happy Monday concept is all about that. So we design is, you know, good design is any client is looking for a good design. That is, and everybody is doing that. But how good design is a productive design, and how your office is not a Monday blues, is like a Happy Monday. So what all element, it might be color, it might be specification, it might be, you know, few activities which need to introduce technology. So this is all about Happy Monday.
Okay, so that's very interesting. You've obviously done enough research on Monday blues. And but can you give me, say, one or two examples of the change that you make? Unless, of course, it is a trade secret.
Not coming. So, you know, fundamentally, if you look at one aspect, I just tell you, if some company's logo is blue, okay, most of the real estate hacks or most of the people would like to replicate that blue in everything.
Correct.
But a client, an employee, be it from business card, be it from, you know, letterhead or on the logo, everything that blue is, he's seeing every day. Psychologically, like, his mind will be living that blue every day. He might be happy or not happy. But, you know, if you can add the colors really impact a lot on any, you know, human. So if you make that office using the blue, and you can make that management, you know, understood, boss, that blue can be on the reception, that blue can be on something, but not that you make the blue. So that has to be a courage from the architect or designer, that you challenge the management, that guys, listen, you know, if you want to make your employees happy, you have to take their opinion also. So be it colors, be it, you know, seating, maybe collaborative seating, maybe, you know, so these are, there are a lot of examples. And I think in offices, I think a lot innovation still is required. And in India, I personally feel like when I interact with a lot of, you know, business heads, still offices are considered to be a work, you know, kind of only workplace. It is actually not, you know, you can. So I've just read one article in, I think, Tokyo. One office has started 4 days, you know, office, and then they boosted 40% productivity. We should learn from those ideas. Not that 5 days is not, I'm not challenging the 5 days. 5 days to be 5 days, but you can add on something to their life so that productivity can come out of, you know, that change.
You know, that is so well said. And as you are talking, I was thinking, when we opened a major office for Guardian Pharmacy, it was a 28,000 square foot office. And I remember the corporate color of Guardian was purple. And everything inside was purple, from the separators to, and it used to look so boring, but
yes,
that thought never crossed my mind that maybe we could experiment with different colors. But this is fantastic learning for me.
I think, you know, I will not stress that, but most of the, even like the entrepreneurs, those who form, you know, start the company, they are not so, you know, crazy about those colors, but the people, those who are making decisions on behalf of them, they try to, you know, please both the side and then make that office like, you know, purple office, you know. I think colors really, really impact us a lot, you know, and not about the colors, about the furniture, about the dividers, separators. You know, there are so many items. Like, I think in an office, generally 300 items you have to decide, you know. Be it even, I say that even the carpet color, sometimes it, So some of the, you know, relatives' houses, yeah. like, you know, if you go to some relative house, mm. you really like to go to that house. Mm. But some other house, you never, even if you like them, but you don't want to go to their house because that is the right learning. Yeah. Why I don't want to go to one house, but I want to go to another house. Mm. Because there are some elements, some aesthetics which appeal you. Mm. So this is the same in the office.
I agree. They're very, very sensible. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday on my podcast. He was talking about the sensory smell of being able to smell. And he you know, works on essential oils. So you're talking about vision and how important that is. I'm sure your ability to hear will be a third aspect which someone will come and talk to me about.
And I think one another thing, I'm just...
Please.
So I was talking to one of my design co-founder. He stayed. So when we cracked a deal with him, like, and he's a good friend also, he told me that, Tushar, wherever I work, the geography should not be a... So he's most of the time, half of the month, he's sitting on Bali beach.
Okay.
Or sometime he's sitting in, Malaysia. He do awesome job. And same time, yesterday we had a discussion that for my team, design team, you will not put any restrictions. And actually, timing is not a restriction. The work from home is not a restriction. And then, you know, when employees see that the management is in line with their, you know, their thoughts, and then the trust is there, then we are given flexibility, actually you get more. So this is the same approach you can apply in, you know, different part of your...
Very well said. So I've got one more question on your business before I move to the second part. You know, when you were building Studio Conventures, and it's now spread all over, what were your challenges when you were scaling up?
So most of the people think that, you know, when any startup is scaling up, money is a challenge. I think money is something anyhow, you know, you can manage it. Like, you know, you can go slow, you can... But I think building a team is very, 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 very challenging. When we are small, people are not, you know, the good people are not ready to join you. And good team members are not coming because of that you are small. Will you sustain? Will you not sustain? I think the biggest challenge I faced is, like, you know, building a team.
Okay.
And second is, creating a culture in a small organization is it seems easy, but because maintaining that, it is very tough. Because in a large organization, or when you already scaled up, people follow the rules because there are rules. But in a small organization, there are rules are always, you know, as per convenience. So I think team was a very big challenge. But now, fortunately, we have a very good team and people, so I generally take people with experience, not from that naukri or something like. So when I'm working with some client, I find somebody is very, very interesting, and credibility and integrity is there. So I follow that guy, and after 1 year, 2 years, whenever he's free, then I just invite. So that's how we build our team.
Wonderful. So Tushar, let me move to the next segment, which is, you know, on startups and entrepreneurship. Our video, your video, is now going to be watched by about 500,000-600,000 people every month. And a lot of people are people who are starting startups, and you said that entrepreneurship is in your blood. So I have a few questions for you on startups. What is the advantage of starting a venture alone versus having a partner?
I think it's a very interesting question for me. I have already two failed partnerships, okay, and two failed partnerships, and then finally I started, and today when I see, like, a lot of interesting people I see, and I want to do a venture. No, I think when you, it is like a, you know, finding a girlfriend, but at the same time when you stay together and then you find that, you know, there are not differences, compatible. You know, and then, so I think, important aspect between partnership, why you, because two partners having the same vision is very, very difficult, okay? And if you find luckily that kind of partner, it is very rare. So one person is very good at marketing and he thinks from a marketing perspective. Another guy is very much execution oriented. So whenever marketing guy want to spend money, the execution guy will say that, guys, listen, you know, we will do marketing later. Let first build the plant, you know, and then the conflict start. So I think generally what in today's environment you see that Rohit or Sachin or like, you know, Bini and, you know, like, you know, all these big partners, very rare, rare cases where you find that partnerships is going very, very long way. But yes, I think finding co-founders and the aligning the vision is very, very important. Then your growth, your scale can be very fast, but I think it is very rare to manage with the partners. Okay.
Well said. I mean, you know, there are obviously always two views and I really appreciate your view on this. So now tell me another question. And again, you said two failed partnerships, several businesses. What are some of the mistakes a lot of startup entrepreneurs make?
You know, I think we have to go sector wise. Like if you look at the IT businesses, in my view, I've learned business from my family, whatever, like, you know, small or big, but you know, profit is paramount. Any business which is you are making, you know, it might be intangible or tangible. There should be a defined timeline then when the business will be making profit. Burning money today, because money is, as I've said, that money is easily available.
Correct.
If you have, you know, good idea, if you have good marketing skill, or if you have, you know, good connection, you can get money because people are ready to, these days, take the risk. But I think most of the startups which I've seen, you know, they live in a kind of false world that some other day this money will come from here. But I think as an intelligent businessman, you need to find out the way that am I going on a right path or not. If this idea is not going to make money, then we should not fool around the world and we should not fool around ourselves. So which I think, and second most important thing, I think, you know, till the time you are not having that 100% knowledge of any, you know, activity or business, you can't hold that, you know, business very, you know, rightly. So I'll just give you one example. See, a lot of startups come from, you know, a good premium colleges, and they start something which is very technical or which is very, you know, you need at least few years of experience to understand then business, and then you can add technology and can scale up. But the day one when you start that business and without having any knowledge and depending on, you know, few people, might be it looks very fancy, the technology is there, but long time it will not sustain. I'll just give you one example. If you look at this concept of sub, jo ek startup hai aapka jo Bangalore
Infosys.
No, I'm talking the sabji wagera jo bechte hai na.
Grofers
and versus the
Big Basket.
So you take the example of Grofers and Big Basket. Why Big Basket is very successful? Because the founder of Big Basket has spent many years in the same segment, understanding the retail, everything. And today he's running that successful. Versus the Grofers, I'm not saying that is a fail or they are doing amazingly good. But the kind of journey, if you see, they have built technology first and understood business later. But the Big Basket understood the business first, and then, so I think that is very, very important.
I understand. So let me move to the third segment, which is a few questions for you personally. You know, tell me, have you had any mentors who have influenced your life, or any people who have influenced your life?
So I'm very lucky in this sense. So in my village, when I was just doing my, you know, studies, there was one English teacher. I was very poor and still I'm not that fluent in English, but that guy really, really did hard work and he understood my vision, my dreams, and always, you know, he helped me to get out of that village. And then in college, again, one of my known, he really helped me to, you know, make that life simpler and how to move forward. And when I landed in Delhi, another one guy, I was like working with Spik Mackey, you know, NGO.
Yeah.
He introduced me to Delhi life, you know, how to sustain here. So again, like, you know, today, fortunately through YPO or, you know, Harvard, I have few people, those who are guiding me on different aspect of my life. But yes, I would say that mentors are never, you know, you have to, you know, meet people and you have to just get that, you know, guidance.
True.
So mentors are all across.
Yeah.
You need to select them and you need to get them to give you advice.
Yeah.
So I am very lucky and I have many mentors.
Very good.
And on different aspect of life, they are helping me to grow.
Wonderful. So tell me, what would be, say, the reason for all the success you've had? You've got a long life ahead, and I'm sure you'll see much more success. But what have been the reasons for your success so far?
So I think it's very subjective. I don't think I'm successful as yet. It is, I think, start of journey. But whatever till today has happened, it is, I think, the most important thing is, like, which I precisely say that, you know, you meet a lot of people every day. There should not be any purpose to meet people and, you know, just purposefully meeting with someone. I think you should be open for learning. Mm-hmm. And that's how, when you meet people and you greet people and you, it's become, you know, a complete chain. And that's how you get a lot of opportunities. This is the pure mantra for my success. So since my childhood till today, I think everyone with whomsoever I met has helped me to become today, you know, like, okay. So my today is, I think, a blessing of many people. Mm-hmm. That is only one word I would say.
Okay. So my next question is, and I ask this from all my guests, because somehow people who listen to us, who write into us, say that successful people have not failed. And I say successful people have failed the most. What have been your learnings from some of your mistakes or failures?
So as I've told you that, you know, I have two failed startups, two failed partnerships. I think those partnerships, if I would have not gone into those partnerships, I would have not reached to this stage today. So I think failure is a must phase of success. Mm-hmm. If you don't fail, you don't learn what to do or what not to do. So I think it's a continuous journey, and I think importantly, any entrepreneur, any businessman, till the time you don't do experiment, if you are scared of doing experiment or scared of, you know, being failed, mm-hmm. I think you will not be able to take big you know,
big risks.
And yes, I think. So in my journey, I have failed a couple of times, mm-hmm. couple of ideas, couple of times, you know, funded well, but all failed, and that's how you become strong.
I agree. So Tushar, my last question for you, and this is again back to startups and entrepreneurship. What would your advice be to a young person who, like you, has a dream of moving out when he or she is 21, 22 years old and is looking ahead? What would your advice be to them?
So I think two things, like, you know, which when I started reading, you know, books, the first book somebody gifted to me is Stay Hungry, Stay Foolish. So this is one line, you know, I would say you should be, you know, eager to learn, and you should be eager to meet people without purpose, you know, and you should respect your elders. You should respect your, you know, a kind of people, those who are more knowledgeable than you or people whomsoever is around you. I believe everybody has a role to play in your life. It depends how you connect with them. So connection is very important, and keeping that connection live is more important.
Okay.
So it can be social, it can be business, it can be anything. So I'm still in touch with my college professors.
Okay.
Like, and sometimes they give me so beautiful advice. Even my school teachers are still in touch with me. And even like the Harvard professor, anything, you know. So I think anything in your life is not less important. Mm. You need to make a connect. That's all.
Wonderful. You know, very, very wise words from someone so young like you, you know. But thank you very much, Tushar. This has been an absolutely incredible conversation, and I'm sure everything you have said will have a lot of learning for all the people who listen to us. Good luck to both your brands, and I hope to see lots of success.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.